We are, I just think that sometimes we go through things and, you know, we struggle with, can, you know, is this what we're supposed to do? And is this God's plan? And we're going to do a series for the next probably 4 or 5 Sundays. And the series of this is called, What Man Can't Do, God Can Do. What man can't, God can. And when Kent gave me his testimony, he said, this is what I'm going to speak on. It was very powerful, and I started, and God says, this is what I want you to do a series on. So this series is prompted from what has happened with these two young girls and this family. And so we're going to talk about this very quickly. I want you to hear this, because the first point that God gave me was God has a plan. And then you just hit that. Amazingly, he who forms them, this is Amos 4:13. Can I have my Bible, Ben or Oleg? Amos 4:13 says, he who forms the mountain, who creates the wind, thank you, who reveals his thoughts to the mankind, who turns dawn into darkness, treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. So when you read that and you listen to that, he who forms the mountain, who creates the wind, who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn into darkness, all those things, he has a plan for you and I. He has a plan for you and I. And when we go to Exodus chapter 3, we know the story of Moses, and God meets Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 7. But God meets Moses at the burning bush, and he sees the bush burning, and you can read it in chapter 3, and Moses walks over to the bush, and God starts speaking to him out of the bush. See, we like to make our plans. We want things to go our way. We want them to go the way we feel they should go. But you ever thought that God might have a better plan? Do we ever think that God has a better plan? Man, I've made a lot of plans. And when Ken and Debbie were going through this, they were trying to plan this in the mentally, in their physical mind. They wanted to do what was right. They wanted to walk with God. They wanted to hear God's voice. And they were struggling sometimes because they would call me and I would say to them, what's the will of God? The will of God is to love those children. The will of God is to keep these children safe. The will of God is to be a parent. The will of God is all those things. I said, you hold steady. It's not do you get the children or not. Is it will you do the will of God every day that you walk with Jesus? That's the key. And God has a plan for you and I to be able to do that. Will you walk with me every day? Will you walk with me when the attorney says it's not going to work? Will you walk with me when she shows up at the last minute? Will you walk with me? Because I have a plan. And this is going to really, you know, have you ever been overwhelmed by what God has asked you to do? See, we get overwhelmed by the everyday life. Kids and family and marriage and work and relationships and jobs and everything. But have you ever been overwhelmed by what God has asked you to do? Kent and Debbie were asked to do something, whether they knew it or not, when they knew it or not, when the time came, but God had a plan for this family. Have you ever been overwhelmed by what God asked you to do? Being overwhelmed is not a bad place. Maybe it's exactly where God wants to place you. Maybe that's exactly where you need to be. But we look at it as, that's not normal. That's not right. That shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be that way. But in the place where you are totally dependent on God, will you be totally dependent on God? And so when we read Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, God meets him at the burning bush and he says, hey, I want you to go release Israel who was in slavery for 400 years. And so verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I love this. Kent and Debbie, this is it. I mean, when you're reading this, you could put your names in here. I heard your sorrow. I heard your cry. I heard the enslavery of a taskmaster that's trying to ruin your life. and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, all the sites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. See, God sees it. God hears it. God is watching over this. Come now, therefore, he says to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on the mountain. So, excuse me, here's the story. So, God has a plan. God hears the cry. God hears your cry. God hears your sorrows. God sees the oppression and what the enemy is trying to do in your life. God sees it, and he has a plan. Guess what? You are in the plan. That is the problem. See, you want God to handle everything by himself. God, you're God. You take care of the oppression. You take care of the enemy. You take care of my boss. You take care of my children. You take care of my spouse. I don't want to be involved. No, God says, I have a plan, and the plan involves you, Moses. I have a plan. You don't have a plan. I'm taking you out from the backside of the desert of 40 years, and now you've been crying out, Israel's been crying out, and I'm going to send you to go do it. See, God revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush, a plan to use Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. Moses been hiding for 40 years. What happened? Moses murdered an Egyptian. Boy, here's another Bible character, a murderer. Adulterers, liars, stealers, deceivers. God uses all those people. That's why I love it that he chose me, because he knew that my past life was not good. He knew that your past life was not good, but he chose you anyways. Why? Because he has a plan, and you are in the plan. In a moment of rage, he had killed the Egyptians, like I said. Now God has asked him, you, Moses, you go back and you free my people. It's like, Kent, Debbie, you haven't been through enough in your life with your son, with even your own personal life. No, I'm going to call you to take care of these children. I mean, this is crazy. But that's God. He's an awesome God because he has a plan. God gave Moses several promises. And we're going to study this for the next 3 or 4 weeks. God gave Moses several promises, and he has given those same promises to you and I. The same promises. Promises from God. When you don't think you can, the first promise that you need to know is that God has a plan. God has a plan. You don't have a plan. In fact, if you have a plan, it's worthless. It's no good. It's not going to work because you can't have two plans. I can't have a plan and God have a plan and think those plans are going to jive together. Because God is supernatural. I am only natural. I'm supernatural in the sense of being a son of God, and you are a son and daughter of God. But God has a plan, and his plan supersedes. God has the best plan. God's plan may not be the easiest plan. We heard that. It may not be the most popular plan. It may not even be the smartest plan. But God has the best plan. God has the best plan. David was just a shepherd, but God had a different plan. Joseph and Mary were a young couple who wanted to get married and raise a family. Whoa, God had a different plan. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, he just wanted to destroy Christianity. God had a plan. When Peter was out fishing, they didn't catch anything. And Jesus told them to go back out into the deep water and to cast your net. He goes, Peter, we've been fishing all night. It's morning. It's not even the time to fish. You know, why are we doing this? Peter's plan was to forget fishing, take the day off, go back home. But when he obeyed the Lord, he found that God had a better plan. I want you to know, God has a plan for you. But guess what? His plan involves you. His plan involves you. When Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die, Peter rebuked him, right? Oh, Lord, that can't happen. Peter thought he had a good plan. But when Jesus went to the cross and paid for the sins forever, Peter found out that God's plan was better than his plan. God has a plan, and it's a good plan. I want you to catch this. It should be up on the screen. God has a plan for your life. And if he has a plan for your life, what he is asking you to do is part of that plan. God has a plan for your life. And if he has a plan for your life, then what he is asking you to do is part of that plan. I want you to catch that. You are in the plan. You are part of the plan. God's plan was to use Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. Nothing else matters. A murderer, a person with a speech problem. But what is your difficulties? What is your disabilities? What is your weakness? Some of your past failures, are they stopping you from walking out God's plan for your life? What are your disabilities? Come on, church. What are your weaknesses? What are you afraid of? Past failures that you said, you know, I failed at that once before. So did Moses. So did David. So did Abraham. So did Peter. So ask that question. What are your disabilities? What are your weaknesses? Some of your past failures. Are they stopping you from walking out God's plan for your life? When we are walking with God, his plan is to encourage, but God is going to see the plan through in your life. He is going to see it through. He walked with Kent and Debbie the whole time. He never left them, even when it looked bleak, even when it looked impossible. What man can't do, God can. God can. He can. He will. He has a plan. He has a plan. God never intended. I want you to hear this. I don't think that I didn't give that to him, so I want to read this slowly. God never intended for us to live under the pressure of everything depending on us. I'm going to say that again. This is very important. If you don't listen to anything else I say, God never intended for us to live under the pressure of everything depending on us. It's when we lean on him, on Jesus, instead of ourselves, that we experience supernatural strength and supernatural provision. Kent and Debbie had to lean on somebody. We have to lean on somebody. Church, we're going to have to lean on Jesus. If you want something supernatural in your life, and you want the strength of a supernatural person like God in your life, then we have to lean on Jesus. God's plan. If a person or a church is going to walk in the plan, God gives us three things. I'm going to give you three things that we need to do, that you need to do. The first thing is, if we're going to walk in God's plan as a church or even as an individual, and I know Kent and Debbie had to do this because we talked a lot through this process. The first thing is they had to surrender. Man, we do not like that word. We do not like surrender. And what did Mark, you sang that song today. I was so glad. Like every time the worship team gets up, I don't care, from the first day I walked into this church, I'm going to go preach a word, and I don't even talk to them what songs they're going to sing. I know Dina gets up there and does the same thing. My wife gets up there. Leah, whoever comes up there, and you go sing on surrender. Why? Because God has a plan. He has a plan, and today that plan is, church, will you surrender? I love the meaning of surrender. Cease, resist to an enemy or an opponent, and submit to their authority. Oh, man, listen to those words. Authority, submit, surrender, resist. Come on, church. I've been there, and sometimes I'm still there. and I know you are. We don't want to resist. We don't want to cease. We don't want to submit, especially to authority. We don't want that. That's surrender. Sometimes we see God as our opponent, and we battle God. Think about it. Sometimes we're battling God because we don't want to surrender. God, come on, God. You don't really mean for me to do this or go talk to that person or do this or give that money to that person or to serve in the church. Or you want me to write a check for what? You want me to what? What? Did you see that person? Did you see what they're driving? Did you see how they dress? Do you see? I know what they're going to do with that money. I only tell you stories that I had to go through. You know what I love about it? I never point fingers at anybody in this church. All my stories are based on I went through it. You want me to what? How much? You want me to love that person? Surrender. Sometimes God is our opponent. Hey, you look at this. Oh, yeah, surrender. Resist to an enemy or cease to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. I would never do that to God. We do. We argue with God. But God, you don't know. Who am I? I'm not smart enough. What happens if I... What Moses learned was the battle was not about Moses. The battle was not about Pharaoh. And the battle was not about Israel. The battle was about the Lord. Moses had to come to the place where he was willing. Calvary Gospel is going to have to come to a place that we are willing to lay, place where he was willing to lay his plans, his goals. Calvary Gospel, will we lay our plans, our goals, our dreams, our will aside so that we might surrender to the will of God? When God says it's time to do something, will we say, wow, that wasn't my dream, that wasn't my plan, that wasn't what I wanted to do? You know, no. Will we surrender, church? Think about it. We pray for revival. We pray for salvations. And Calvary Gospel is growing. And we have a great church. I just said this to Ben. When I sat down this morning, I said, Ben, we have an awesome church. And he says, yeah, it's the best. We have an awesome church. Why? Because we are learning what it is to say, God, it's your plan, not my plan. I'm going to surrender and I'm going to give up. So the first thing we have to do is we have to surrender. This is not about Moses, wasn't about Israel, wasn't about Pharaoh. It was about, will we surrender? The Lord still requires us to walk in his perfect will. See, I want you to hear that. He still requires us to walk in his perfect will. Well, I messed up today. It's okay, God, because I know you forgive me. Yes, he has forgiven us. Yes, he's full of grace. And yes, he's full of mercy. But guess what? I want you to hear it. He's full of truth. Read John 1. Oh, grace is great, but I don't want to hear all the truth. No, you don't get just grace. You get grace and truth from Jesus. And so, this morning, are we willing to surrender to his perfect will? And then there's submission. The action or the fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or the will or authority of another person. See, submitting means putting others before yourself. It means that not always doing what you want to do. It means putting God's desires above your desires. Putting God's desires above your desires. God has a plan. And you are in it, whether you like it or not. You are in the plan. But guess what? Surrender. Guess what? Submit. Who submitted more than Jesus? Philippians 2, 5 through 11. I only have one more, so hang in there. And I'm going to close. I promise. I promise. I said it. I promise. I have enough of my family here to make me accountable. Listen, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, if you could bring that up. Who submitted more than Jesus? Ha! Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let's keep on going. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Hey, come on, church, listen to what we are supposed to be doing. This isn't just a story. This is what we need to do. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, submitted himself, surrendered himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also hath highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, all things in heaven and all things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's good. Think about it. Who surrendered, who submitted more than anything? Jesus. Be like-minded. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Surrender. Submission. This is his plan. And steadfast. Steadfast. Anytime we walk in the plans of God, it will be a walk of faith. Cat and Debbie had to have a walk of faith. A walk of faith. Steadfast. Perseverance. They weren't even knowing where they were going sometimes, but they knew they were moving forward with God. It will take great faith to tell the nation of Israel after 400 years of slavery, hey, we're walking out of here. Huh. Yeah, right. And then go to Pharaoh, the taskmaster, and say, hey, you, after 400 years of slavery and you've taken the taskmaster of the, hey, you let them go. Yeah, you let them go. Think about that. That's a lot of perseverance. That's a lot of steadfastness. If you're going to see God's best plan for your life, it's going to require faith. God is going to ask you to take some steps along the path of life that will be difficult and that you are unsure of. The path of God's best is always the path of faith. God always honors faith because faith always honors him. Hebrews 11:6. God always honors faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder. Who's the rewarder? Jesus. God is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So you have to, God always honors faith because faith always honors God. Walk in faith, steadfast. You do not give up. Genesis 12, two verses, and that's it. Genesis 12, it talks about Abraham. I'm just going to give you two examples. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kingdom and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make the name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. God had a plan. Who was in the plan? Abraham. Abraham was in the plan. God says, I have a plan, but you're in it. And you don't even know where you're going. And you're going to do it by faith. But I'm going to honor because you are faithful. I'm going to honor you. And I'm going to bless you. One more verse. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. Is that faith or what? Being warned of things of not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Church, what man can't do, God can. He can. First step that we're going to learn in this series, that God has a plan. He has a plan. But guess what? The plan involves you. But if we stay within these three steps, a surrender, a submission, and a steadfast, God will honor the plan. So I want to encourage us as a church. I'm going to encourage you as a church. God is doing great things at Calvary. God is doing great things in your personal life. God is moving, but he wants us to see for the next 4 or 5 weeks, it's his plan. It's not yours. It's his plan. It's not yours. all through the scripture. You read from Genesis, from Abraham, all the way to the end of the book. Every time God said, hey, I got a plan. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you more. I'm going to give you a nation. Your children will be more than the stars in the sky that you can count. I'm going to give you Jericho. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. Hey, church, God said to Calvary Gospel, I have a plan for Calvary Gospel. He's had a plan for a long time, way before I got here. You know that. But his plan involves this church. It involves everyone sitting here. Everyone. He has a plan, and he's going to accomplish it. We have to stay focused on those three things. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I want you to catch this. Because my wife and I say this all the time, we just don't come to church just to come to church. Like, I use this terminology, and I use it very loosely, and I don't even, I want you to understand what I'm saying. I've been churched all my life. I'm 61 years old. I grew up in church. And sometimes my wife and I will drive home from church and we'll go, I'm done with church. I've been churched, man. You may be 20 years old. I'm 61. I've been churched. I've seen it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I say to God, God, I'm done with church. I want you. I want your plan. What is your plan for Debbie and I coming here? What is your plan for Calvary? How do you want to use me? How do you want to use my wife and I? How do you want to use this church? I want to be in the flow. I want to be on the vine. I want to be the vessel. Like Debbie said, we are just vessels. I want to be connected. I don't want to be off the vine. I want to hear your voice, no matter how loud it sounds or how soft it sounds or what you're asking us to do, Harry Calvary. I want to hear your voice because I'm done playing church. I've been churched. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. And Jesus has a plan, or else he never would have brought me here. And I am blessed to be here. I want to encourage you, as God speaks to us, as he speaks to you individually, remember this day. It's his plan, not your plan. Surrender, submit, and be steadfast. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Get excited. God's doing great things. In a couple weeks, our young people are going into the city to do ministry. We're working on going into a park, spending a couple, 2 or 3 hours in a park feeding young kids and face painting and just blessing them and serving the city. This is God's plan. We're walking in God's plan. Pray for our young people in the upcoming couple weeks. God is doing great things. Our children's church, Kids Connect. Hey, God has a plan for this church. That's why we're still here. He's not done, and he's not done with you. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for this great day you've given us. We thank you, Father, that thank you for the testimony of a couple that submitted, surrendered, submitted, and stayed steadfast because they knew you had a plan. They didn't have a plan, but they said, you have a plan, God. And we thank you for that testimony. We rejoice in them. And anyone else who has a testimony of God doing miracles in their life, big or small, a miracle is a miracle. No matter how small or big it is, we thank you, Father, because you're working amongst this church. And so, Lord, we honor you and say thank you, Father. Let us take this word and run with it. Lord, it's your plan. It's your plan. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the Hogaboom family. Thank you for these children, Lord, that you have put under their wings. God, that you are always protecting them, even in the sad case and the bad things and all that we hear and what's going on and even in other families. But this would be a testimony. This isn't just an isolated, God just doesn't do one miracle. God says, I do miracles and signs and wonders for people to see because I'm still on the throne and I'm still the King of Kings and I'm still the Lord of Lords. And no one is going to dethrone me, Jesus says. And we say, thank you, Father. We're walking with you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, let's come and celebrate as a church together. If you need to go downstairs, that's fine. If you want to go outside, hey, that's fine. Let's just fellowship together. Thank you.